something that I did in West Hempstead that I wanted to want to get to, but we'll start first with something plain, okay? All right, so in the beginning of Vayeshev, you have the story, the famous story of the Achim, the Achei Yosef. And the Achei Yosef and their interaction with Yosef. Now, if you take a look at the Parsha, so where do you see that they... Where does the Torah condemn them? Where does the Torah say that they sinned? I mean, it was a machlokes, basically. They held that he was really, and they held on valid grounds, that he was motzi dibah on them, and he was really, what he was doing was breaking up the relationship between them and the father, and he was breaking down the whole Masorah and destroying the perpetuation of and the creation, actually, of Klal Yisrael through the Shiftei Kor, and he was saying that they were they were Chasha al Arayis and other Isurim. I mean, so basically, it's Motzi Dibah on them. Yehava Yosef is the Basam Ra Lavihim. I mean, that's clear from the pasuk. Without the Chazal to tell you what the Dibah was, and it was apparently obviously something bad. But the point is, you see from the pasuk that he really was a person. They held that he was really a Rasha, and then that's why they made a Ras Shah to do away with him. But where do you see, where does the pasuk condemn the Achim, really? Where does the pasuk condemn the Achim? So the pasuk condemns the Achim where the pasuk says, about the Achim, it says like this, Vayiru echov ki oso ohav aviyem mikol echov vayisnu oso. See, that was already a hate. That because the father loved him more, that shouldn't have been a cause of sin. Okay? But the, again, the pasuk says, again, the pasuk condemns him where it says, Vayikanu vo'echov, which is the same thing. Vayikanu vo'echov. So, really, v'loyachu dabro l'shalom, Chazal say on the contrary, that was really l'shvach, because you see they were straight, and they weren't echad b'peh v'echad b'leiv, so they weren't meramehem. But the fact that they were mekanehem, I mean, that was really the chait. So the chait was really kina. That was the chait. So the chait was basically the last of their service of dibros. Okay, l'sachmai beis re'echo, l'sachmai deishes re'echo. So you're not allowed to have this, so kina is an isser, and that's basically the chait that they were over. So it's an interesting thing. If you take a look at the Ibn Ezra on kina, Ibn Ezra says an interesting thing. He says, lo sachmo, that's on Shmos Chof Yudalit. He says, anashim rabim yitmuhu al zos ha-mitzvah. Says people wonder about this mitzvah. Eich ye odom shelo yachmo dover yofe belibo kol mashon nechmad lamare enov. How is it possible that a person, losachmad means not talking about the halachic losachmad, but losachmad the iser in terms of perfection is any kind of chemda belayv. So he says, how is it possible? It's only natural for a person to have to be jealous. Va'ata etein lachom mashal. He says, here's mashal. Da. Ish kafri. A man that lives in a little village. Sheyeshlo das nechona. He's an intelligent fellow. Vura bas melech shehi yofa lo yachmor osa belibo sheyish kavima. He will not want to sleep with her. Even though, why? Ki yeda ki zela yitachin. He knows he's from a little village, a little villager. And he's not royalty. So he sees royalty, he's not going to have a desire to live with the with this beautiful woman of royalty. Lo tachshov, al tachshov zeh kafari shehu ke'echod min ha-mishugoyim she'yis'ave she'yilo k'nafayim lo fashamayim. He says, of course, he says, just like this kafari will not think that he does not wish that he has wings, that he could fly. V'lo yitochen lios kasher ein odom misave Lishkov in Lishkov in Imo, Afalpishi Yosef. So it's an interesting thing. He says that a person doesn't have a desire to sleep with his mother, even though she's beautiful. He says, why? Kigilum in Urav Ladashi Asurlo. He says, because he knows from early youth that she's Asur. It's an interesting thing. I mean, he recognizes that there's two forces involved. Kocha, kol maskil tzorach sheyeda ki isha yosa o mamon lo yinso eno odon bavur chachmasa v'daito. He says, so too, a person has to know that a beautiful woman or money, he says, a person will not acquire it because of his chachman, his das, rakasha cholak lo Hashem. But it's all the way God has given it out, divided it out for him. Vama kehelas ulo odom shelo amal bo yitnenu chalko. He says, and that's the way life is. One guy works hard, another guy didn't do any work, and boom, he got it. Vamur chachonim, chazal say, boni chayu mezoni, that's Gemara Mai Katan, lav bizchusa tal yamil selaba mazla. Now, chazal say, having children, I mean, which is, these are the three things of life, basically. Having good children, and how long you live, and your panasa, I mean, that sums it all up, basically. So he says, those three things, Chazal say, are totally in mazel, which means it's not totally in schus, which is a support for what he's saying, no matter how many schusim he has. So this doesn't help because it's totally in mazel, which means to say that this is all part of the Seder Abriya. He seems to be throwing it into the Ashgacha Klolius, and therefore, since it's all Ashgacha Klolius, and the Ashgacha has seen fit to make it depend upon mazel, upon chance, because many things in life, that's the way it is. So therefore, he says, this is God's will, and it can't be otherwise. It's just the imagination of a person makes him think that it could have been, that he could have had this beautiful woman, or he could have had all this money, but that's just imagination. And the truth of the matter is, it's already predestined that he shouldn't have it. Ubafor Zay says, because that Hamaskelo Yisavav Leyachmor, a person who's a tremendous chacham will never be plagued with this emotion of kin, of jealousy, because he knows that's the way. It's just a fool that thinks, you know, that's given over to his imagination, so he thinks everything's possible. So he would really be envious of a bird that could fly because he doesn't have wings. But he somehow or other, that's too obvious. So that area he doesn't have jealousy. But in areas where his imagination is well at work, I mean, it's impossible for him, not to feel envy, because he thinks that everything could be. It could be he could have had this beautiful woman, he could have had this money, he could have had these wonderful children, and therefore he's bitten with the plague with envy. But a chacham knows that even though it looks like that, but in truth, it's just as impossible for him to have that money as it is for him to sprout wings. So therefore, it would be crazy for him to have to be envious. So he says, V'omas, that's why he says, a chacham never has envy. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. A chacham does not experience that emotion. He never has it. It's not a matter of certain things. You could say a chacham has it as much as a person that's not a chacham, but the chacham deals with it in a different way. Say a person has a desire for food, so chacham has a desire for food also. He has a palate, he has a desire for food, he likes something tastes good, he also can sense it. But he rechannels the energy, whatever it is. But he has it. But over here, the Ibn Ezra says that the chacham simply is totally devoid of this kind of an experience. And if a person has the experience of envy, it is a proof, a clear-cut proof, that he is not a chacham and he's a fool. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. So basically, he goes on, he says like this. So this is V'omar, he says, Sheyeda she'eshes re'eo osra Hashem lo, He says, and he knows that God said already that this other guy's wife is also to him. So he says, that's even more significant to him than royalty. Royalty is just a matter of the social circumstance. But this is more. This is God's law. Al kenu yismach b'chelko. V'lo yosem alibo lachmod l'savos davashen ishlois. Therefore, the person that's kiyeda, she'ashem l'rotza losis lo. Lo yuchal akachto b'kocho v'machshavoso v'tach b'loso. Al ken yivtach b'boro she'ichal kalena v'yaso atov b'einov. He rounds it off nicely, basically. He shows that the chacham really is very happy with his chelek, because his chelek is the only chelek that there is, and he looks at the chelek objectively, not comparatively, and he's extremely happy with what God gave him, and therefore his life is completely devoid of any type of any sense of jealousy or envy, and he never experiences such a thing. Never ever experienced such a thing. That's what that's basically what the Ibn Ezra says. Okay. So there's one question, though. There is one question that you could raise against the Ibn Ezra. According to Ibn Ezra, basically, if a person is envious, either he denies the Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because God saw fit to give this person X and another person Y, and either he denies the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Chochma, one of those things, or if he accepts it, then he's simply a total fool because he thinks certain things are possible and they aren't. One of the two, basically. In order to be jealous, you have to do one of the two. That's why it brings in the fact that the other person's wife. So either you deny Mishpat Hashem, or else if you don't deny Mishpat Hashem, then you're just a fool. You think that certain things are possible, and then they're not possible. You don't understand that this is all Ashgachas Hashem. This is all Ashgachas, Kol Yisrael Ashgachas, Pratis. One of the two, okay? So in other words, basically, the last of the Aseres HaDibris, the last Dibra, really enunciates the whole Ashgachas HaYahadas. Can be summed up over there. And in terms of the person's individual personal life, how he lives personally, you could see, if he's a Chacham and he recognizes Mishpat Hashem, so then he'll never experience any kind of jealous emotion. Okay. Yeah, there's one question you could raise on the Ibn Ezra. The question is this, that the Rambam says, and I don't think the Ibn Ezra will deny it, I mean, it's a pasuk, Vayihi David b'chol zrachav maskil v'Hashem imo. So you see that we don't believe that Hatzlacha just comes, through the person sit home and he say he won't work, and the money will fly in the window. He won't do anything. He won't engage in any business. He won't engage in a profession. But he's just going to rely on the fact that God is going to give him money. So the Rambam says that's basically a fool. That's derech tipish, derech tipshim. They hope for the best. He says first they get married, then they try to get a house, and then the end of their life they try to look for panasa. So he says that's derech tipshim. So apparently we hold that you have to use your chachma in every area of your life. And you have to realize that there was a klola that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Adam HaRishon, that he has to engage in sustenance, supporting himself of some type. I mean, and that klola is a reality. And man has to recognize that that's true, that's real, and he has to prepare himself for it, and he has to engage in some type of way, means of support. And if he doesn't do that, then he's simply a fool. And if he does it in the proper way, then the Rambam says that he has the additional help of the Ashgacha. Vayihi David b'chol drachav maskil b'Hashem imo. So he has to be a maskil, he has to operate, function in the proper manner. So we don't believe that a person, is just, everything's from God, so a person does nothing and he'll be making a good living. How? Min Hashamayim, nice. We don't believe in that. We believe that it's the person's efforts, that the person must expend effort in order to attain means of support, the livelihood, good livelihood, moderate, whatever it is. But he has to do something. So therefore, So therefore, what the Ibn Ezra is saying doesn't seem to be correct, because he's saying that it's all a chelak Hashem. Chelak al kamimal, which means the chelak that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person. So that's not what it is though. Because the fact is that you have to do the work and you have to engage. So when I'm envious of somebody else, so of course I could say very simply, I'm not envious of the fact that what God gave him is God's cheshbon, and I accept that. But I'm envious of the fact that he's able to do it. That's what I'm envious about. Because he really could always say, a person, yesh lebal din lachlo, can say, yeah, I'm envious of the fact that this guy really is a successful person, and he utilizes his energies in the proper way, and I don't. So, it's true, it's my fault, but the fact is, meantime, he's successful and has all this tremendous success, and he has all this money and all this covet, whatever it is, and I don't have any of it. So, I'm envious. So why can't I be envious that way? All right? If everything was very simple, that God simply metered out everything that a person has, then I understand. Ibn Ezra is right. But since we don't believe that, we believe that in order to attain something, yeah, there's hashgacha. But the fact is that you have to do something in order to get it. So when a person's successful, a lot has to do with the individual's personality, his strivings. I mean, it's not for no reason at all that people that are that expend a lot of energy, intelligent people expend a lot of energy in making money, are going to make more money than people that don't spend any energy in making money. I mean, it's a fact, and there's a reason for it, because olam kimenhag nohag, and it has to do with effort and intelligence. And there are general principles. These things don't. It's not magic. I mean, it's not like people that money's just given out arbitrarily. No matter what you do, you're going to get the same amount of money. That's not the way it works. So I can be jealous of the successful man. He's successful. He gets up. He goes. He does things. He accomplishes. And me, I don't really. I don't do it. I'm not able to do it. So I'm jealous. Why can't a person argue? Put forth that argument against the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra would be very good if, like he says, everything is given by Hashem. If we opened up our windows every morning, and everybody got a certain amount. One guy got more, another guy got less. I say, okay, that's God's will. But that's not the way it works. That's the question. Okay? Anybody want to...
I don't really understand the question.
Okay.
If the guy is... The guy has two options. You're obviously saying that it wouldn't make sense for him to be upset for the fact that the other guy is more successful, right? Because that's not in his control. And if it's a question of him working harder, so let him work harder. What should he be jealous about? I mean, if it's in his control, so then jealousy is not really an appropriate reaction. The appropriate reaction is for the guy to do better with the things that are in his control. And if it's out of his control, so what's the jealousy all about?
So you're saying that a person can't be jealous. Okay, good, very good, okay.
And most people in practice, when they're jealous, it's because they feel like it's just not fair. Like, how come he gets it and I don't? And
okay.
Like you described, it's like even Ibn Ezra describing, that's just some nourishment.
Okay. So, let me ask you a question. Okay, that's good, good. In other words, what Fox is saying is, That jealousy is not an appropriate reaction. In other words, either get out there and do something, or accept your fate. So, and if you don't want to do either, so then you're just a fool. I mean, the jealousy is not an appropriate reaction. Okay, but let me ask you a question. The question that throws the question into another arena. The question is like this. When you see a person that's doing well and has a good life, and you feel envy for that person, correct? Obviously, what the person has is what really makes you feel envious. And that, we say, is awesome. You're not allowed to have that feeling. If you have that feeling, there's something wrong with your internal mechanism, okay? So, philosophical mechanism. Now, so the question is like this. So now the question is, can I be jealous of another person because the other person has perfection, basically? In other words, can I be jealous of another person's perfection? Correct?
Is that perfection something that they developed, or is that perfection something that God gave them?
Okay. So your argument is going to be like this, that if it's something that he developed, so then you develop yours. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be your argument. Yeah. But I have a different question. My question, I guess. My question is, why in people, when they're jealous, they're really jealous of the, what makes them jealous initially is the other person's, the fact that the other person is, finds himself in a certain situation, in a fortunate situation. It's the fortunate situation that makes you jealous. Is that not correct? I mean, you would not be jealous of a person that you saw that's in an unfortunate situation. Only a fortunate situation. Correct?
Right.
So the fortunate situation is the first cause in this whole chain, right? Yeah, so you see somebody's very fortunate. Whoops, it grabs you. Hey, why is he so fortunate? Not me. Okay, so then the Ibn Ezra is right. So you say, well, look, God gave it to him. So fine. Okay, fine. But the... But the fact is, what makes the person envious is seeing the fortunate situation in another individual. Correct?
Yeah.
Ah. Now I have a question. Question like this. Question is, that now that we've thrown it into a question of jealousy of perfection, my question like is, why is it really that people are not jealous of a person's perfection? See, I want to maintain even more. It's not simply the point that it's not rational. Either go out and do something, or else don't sit home and be jealous. Yeah, but I could say, fine, I'm not in the mood to do anything, and I am jealous of the fact that he has these abilities. It's true, it's not rational. But my question is like this. My question is, why is it that a person is never jealous? You see, the experience of jealousy, I'm talking about the psychological experience of jealousy. Your argument is a philosophical argument. My question is a psychological one. Why is it, now that we've thrown into the realm of perfection, why is it that there is no envy when it comes to perfection? In other words, what sparks the envy is the fact that the other person is in a fortunate situation, right? But let us say, for instance, I have reached a level of knowledge where I know that the most fortunate person in the world is the person that's involved in learning and thought and chachma. And he really is enjoying life to a greater degree than Olam Hazeh. I'm not talking about Olam Hazeh. To a far greater degree than a guy that's driving or riding in the biggest stretch limo. You see? That's a fact. Now, let's say a person reaches the level where he knows that. He knows that ultimately, the only thing really is, the only real good life is the life of Chachma. Okay? But you'll notice a strange thing. Why is it that when he sees an individual who has attained that level, it will not spark any envy? In other words, people see Moshe Feinstein, you see, you go to the door, the man sits and learns all day. Maybe they're envious of his cover. Okay, right, that I can understand. Yeah, I'd like to have the cover of Moshe. Everybody respects him. That I can understand. But no one really is envious of his life. You see, minus out the COVID, no one's really... But the truth of the matter is, that's what they really should be envious of. A person really should be envious of that. Isn't that true? And let me ask you a question. If a person were envious of that, would you say that is really an issue of kinna or not?
Irrationality
of it. So then it would be irrational, right? It would be irrational then to be envious of the other guy's perfection too, right?
Right.
Okay. An interesting thing, but Chazal say differently. Chazal say the Gemara on Ma'id Katan says, what does the Chaf Chesem at Aleph? Gemara says like this. Gemara says, where's that Gemara? Here it is. The Gemara is like this. Vama Rava, Hani Tlas Mili Boy, it's Afkhaf Kasmiralov, about the middle. Hanitlas mili boy kameshmaya. These three things I asked from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tarti yavuli, two of them they gave me. Chodolo yavuli, one of them they didn't give me. One was chokhmasod Rav Huna. Okay, I asked for Rav Huna's chokhma. Va'otred Rav Chista, and Rav Chista's wealth. The yavuli, those two things they gave me. But on the sanuse de Rabba bar Rav Huna, lo yavuli. I asked for, to have the anivis of Rabba bar Rav Huna, that they didn't give to me. That I never attained. So you see the Chazal will mispalel anin, they will mispalel for perfection. And they said, and not just perfection, but the other guy's perfection. They didn't just say, give me, the tefillah wasn't simply, I want to fulfill my potential. But you see, they said, I want his. Who were the individuals? Rav Chisda's wealth? Was that? And Rava's, it was Rava said that, right? Rav Chisda, Rav Huna's Chochma, and Rav Huna's Chochma, and Rav Chisda's wealth, right? And the list was Rabba bar Rav Huna's Anivis. So I mean, it's an interesting thing. So you see that Chazal held, apparently, that you can be Mekana when it comes to it. Now, why don't I say the same argument? Either you go out and do it, or don't complain. I mean, God gave him these things. What right do you have? Or if you're going to tell me that that's not kina, so I'll ask you, would it be mutter for a person to be mispowel that he should have a wife beautiful like the other guy's wife? Or that he wants the money that this guy has?
You mentioned the wealth of it.
What?
You mentioned there was the other guy's wealth also.
That's correct.
So not only are you going to have to pray why it's okay to pray for the other guy's perfection, but also the other guy's wealth.
That's correct. That's correct. Over here, it seems the wealth is placed in a different type of category. I mean, I don't think Gemara say Miss Polly has the other guy's wife.
Welcome,
learning
stuff.
Yeah.
Ready?
Yes.
Can you have a low stop mode of a generality?
Or if you're going to tell me you can be the spall for the other guy's wealth, and then what exactly is Los Achmar? I mean, it seems that there's that's Ein Lachem the Gadol Mizeh. Yeah, what are you going to say? I'm sorry.
Do you have Los Achmar? Is it always on a specific, or it can be on a generality? In other words,
on a generality? Like, what do you mean, like a generality? What? I can't hear. Something's wrong with the. Something's wrong with the connection there.
In other words, let's say somebody takes a picture of a millionaire or a genius, but not like, let's say, a fiction character.
Yes.
Not somebody in reality. In other words, just a general person. Can I have the low stock mode of that, or it's always only on a specific, a particular person?
If you want to be rich.
It would seem a particular person.
It's always a particular person.
It would seem so. That's a good point you mentioned. It would seem so. I'm not saying that it's definitely so. I mean, you just ask me a question on the surface, that's what it would seem. I mean, I can't say, it would seem that that's Los Achma, why the other guy has it. Yeah. Okay.
about the Lo-Sakma, the Lo-Sakma, the Rambam, doesn't the Rambam say that there has to be, in the Lo-Sakma, there has to be already a plan, and Lo-Sakma has to be a Yitzhirbo?
Yeah, I understand. That's in the, that's true. That's what I said originally. But the Ibn Ezra is just learning in terms of the perfection of the thing.
Okay, but if you learn that way, you don't have any of your problems.
The love of Losachma, yeah, but I don't think the Rambam is, take a look at it. I don't think Rambam's, the technical love is one thing. But the imperfection is certainly on any level. The guy's jealous and Kina is certainly,
According to that, the Gemara wouldn't be a problem.
No, but he can't say that. You're going to tell me that Chazal is going to hold that Kinna's okay? I mean, that's impossible. It's certainly a midah. What does Rambam say? The Rambam says a person's mechuyev just like a mechuyev to tshuva from. The question is, where will it come under? What will come under v'alach v'drocha or kind of whatever? But where will come under? But it will come under the assertion of divorce. But definitely, the Rambam holds Kinna's a terrible thing. By a kind of v'alachov is definitely a condemnation. No one's going to mount to that. Yeah. So what I want to say is like this. I want to say that really kina, the idea of kina, and I'm trying to develop it as I go along really. The idea, kina really is a hybrid. You see, kina really, the actual kina that the Torah talks about is a hybrid. It's a hybrid. And what is the hybrid? The hybrid is like this. Kina is where the fantasy of the instinctual, you see, the way the instinctual works is like this, that when the instinctual is not gratified in the present, so then it seeks gratification in the future. And that really is the world of fantasy. So if a person doesn't have enough money now, if a person just found a gold mine, he's not going to fantasize about the future. Right now, he's overcome with the present. He just discovered a gold mine. He's busy shoveling in the gold. So when a person's overcome with the present, the way the instinct works is that when it's overcome, when it's satisfied in the present, so then it doesn't go into the future. Okay? But instincts are usually greater than the present can offer in terms of satisfaction. That's the way it is. The present just isn't enough. The instinct is far greater. So what happens is that because the instinct is not gratified in the present, so it sets up fantasy gratifications in the future, and desires. And that really is the whole world of fantasy and illusion and striving. Whenever you see a person strive, it means he has to not be happy, because he can't be satisfied with the present. Satisfied in the present, you're not striving anymore. Striving is because the present doesn't satisfy you, so you project into the future your fantasy and your illusion. Okay. So basically, that's the way the world of the instinctual works. Now, in envy, in kinah's a hybrid. Kinah really is the fantasy of the instinctual desire in the future, combined with the fact that somebody else got that. You see? In other words, you could have a fantasy of the future of being a multimillionaire. Fine. But the fact is, that's one kind of fantasy. But if it happened to the guy next door, then the fantasy takes a different grip on the individual. In other words, it really is the fantasy of the instinctual combined with the pain that the other guy got it. In other words, it's not just that you have a fantasy, but your fantasy was realized by somebody else. Do you follow? I would say that is the definition of kinah. In other words, kinah is the instinctual combined with the idea. It's the instinctual fantasy combined with the idea that the other person, the painful idea that the other person realized it. That really is kinah. Okay? Do you follow?
Yes, that's why it never attached itself to things that are material.
That's correct. You see? That's why it will never attach itself to perfection. You'll never be envious of the Vilna Gaon. And as much as you'll know that the Vilna Gaon really has a far, far more enjoyable life then the greatest millionaire or the greatest Baal Taiva could ever have, it's just not possible for a person to, for the Baal Taiva to enjoy himself as much as the only guy, because he, every second he's enjoying another idea, and he's in the world of continuous gratification and enjoyment, but you will never be jealous of him. Why? Because there is no instinctual for that. You see, the instinct, that's Adam Rishon, Kodam Achet and Lachar Achet. Lachar Achet, the instinctual energy, does not go into that area. So therefore, there you will never be able to, the energy cannot go into that area. And since the energy cannot go into that area, you can't have the added painful feature that the other guy has gotten that fantasy that you want. You see? Now, it's an interesting thing. It's a very interesting thing. Apparently, and I'm just speaking in terms of psychology, but apparently what Yehadus holds is, because Kol HaTorah Kula is really perfection of man, so the Torah never offered fantasy. It's interesting. That apparently Yehadus held, you can't offer, because that is every person, I mean, it's impossible unless the guy is the vulnerable guy, involved constantly in Chachma, so he's always going to, the energy has to have an escape. And it's not going to be gratified in the present, because the physical world just isn't made in a way that it can gratify the instinctual world. So he's always going to have to be in fantasy. Apparently, Yehadus holds that as long as it is in the world of fantasy, you see, why does the Torah really care if you're jealous of the other guy? So what if you're jealous? Say you're jealous. So I can understand the Torah say, don't harm him, don't take away his stuff. But you're jealous. What if you're jealous? What's wrong with Kenneth? So what? Not harming anybody? Not talking about, it's not because it's going to lead to harm, because the Torah doesn't, don't kill him, don't rob him. But why does the Torah see it as a terrible imperfection by a kind of ochiv, why is it so bad? Apparently what Yehadus holds is that the moment a person is caught up in that secondary step, that hybrid, it's a hybrid, and the secondary step is that the other guy got it, that puts a lock on the fantasy. And it puts a lock on the fantasy in the way where the soul's energy is really driven into the world of the instinctual, is locked in there, you see? And the person is really far removed from that last lock. In other words, why did he get that fantasy? That really locks in the emotion. That last thing is what really causes the soul to reach a stage from which it can't return, so to speak. It's really locked in now. See, as long as the energy is loose and it's just fantasy, that doesn't have such a grip on the soul. But if the person will see not just fantasy, but the other guy got my fantasy and he will be disturbed by that, that really locks in the emotion. And that is really imperfection. Okay? As long as it's not locked in, so it's like psychologists would describe like a free floating type of thing. That's okay. But once it locks in with the additional pain that the other guy has it, then you've reached imperfection. That's already serious imperfection. Now the individual is far gone, far away from his potential, in other words, to use the energy for something real and something good, has been completely removed. He has very little chance of doing that. The soul is really locked into evil, is locked into the fantasy. So what I want to say is that in envy, it's not the envy itself that the Torah is really against. What the Torah is against is the lock on the soul of the instinctual, the hold on the soul of the instinctual. And when that second step takes place, where you see the guy next door got your instinctual fantasy, and you hate that and it bothers you, that puts a tremendous grip on the fantasy from which the soul can't escape. You see, and that is why it's evil. It's evil because of the fact, not because the Torah is worried it's going to kill the guy next door. That's all sorts of. You won't rob him. But the thing is, what the Torah is saying is that the when you have that kina, that is the final stage of imperfection in terms of the world of fantasy gratification. You see. So therefore, since that's the case, that explains the Gemara in Mayakut. Because the Gemara in Mayakut, and you see, what was he mispalled for? He wanted three things. He wanted the Chachma, he wanted the Anivus, and he wanted the money. But because you see what he wanted, what he desired, so you see it was not tied to the world of the instinctual. Because the world of instinctual, you wouldn't, in the world of instinctual, you wouldn't be envious of the other guy's chachma. For some reason, that does not attract the fantasy. The world of fantasy is not attracted by chachma. And so I wish I had that guy's chachma. You might say I wish I had his chachma because I wish to be famous like him, if he's famous for his chachma, but really the idea itself that he has, you're not really jealous of. For some reason, no matter how great that is, and that is something which is really great, and is the only great thing, for some crazy reason, that thing, you just can't be envious of. So the fact that, because the instinctual doesn't translate into that kind of a phenomena. So therefore, you see that when Rava said that he was jealous of the Chochma of Rav Huna, you see, so there you see that this man's strivings are not in the world of the, not in the fantasy instinctual world. You understand? And the same thing with Anivus. Anivus is certainly not something that people are are envious of. Because real Anivus is, like you're saying, the feel of an Afshi Kofel Akoltia. It means to say that, like the Rambam tells the story over there, and no matter how people step on you and give you no derech eretz, no respect, they give you no covet, nothing, and they degrade you, it's ka'ofa lakol tiyeh, and it shouldn't bother you. And on the contrary, that is really the basis from which the natural lakol tiyeh, what is that? Tzachli b'yisrael tzachli b'tzachli t'idof nafshi. That's really the, on the contrary, that's the basis, that once you reach that, then it's Psach Libi Vesara Secha of Mitzvah Secha Tedav Nafshi. Then I could really pursue Chochma for its own sake and for nothing else. So that's really the Tzila. So you see that's something which certainly people are not envious of another person's lowly station in life and his ability to accept it. And it shouldn't bother him, shouldn't concern him at all. That's not something people are envious of. So you see from Rava that his energy was not at all in the instinctual. So when he was mispalled for the wealth of Rav Chisda, it wasn't wealth as a translation of the instinctual, where a person simply imagines that if he has wealth, he's going to be exceedingly happy because now he can finally fulfill all his instinctual desires. That's the world of fantasy, and it's a nonsensical world. But that he really wanted the wealth for a different reason, so he could have Yishuv Das, and he shouldn't be bothered, shouldn't be plagued with the curse of the of Adam, which bothers everybody every day. That he has to be engaged in earning a living, and he has to have this tremendous tirda on his head. He wanted to have a situation where he could have menucha and he could be able to sit and learn. So, Vayeshev Yaakov, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Shalva. So that is something, Bikesh Yaakov Leshev Shalva is fine. I mean, Yaakovina can't be more perfect than Yaakovina. That's what he wanted to do, and he had a right to do it, obviously, to want it and to take advantage of it if it should come his way. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That is not the world of fantasy. So therefore, That's why that's the meaning of the Chazal. That's why there's really Chazal never asr. I remember when I was a kid, they used to say, you're allowed to be Makana, another guy goes, he has good meters. I used to wonder why, you know, why, but they're right, it's true. It's true. But the reason is, because that kind of, the evil of kinah is not because of the other guy. Like everybody thinks, because they think if you're going to be jealous of the other guy, you might hurt him. It's not a gzera. The evil is because it's a lock on the world of fantasy. That is what's evil about it. But for the same reason, if it's imperfection, there's nothing wrong with a person being desirous of what somebody else. On the contrary, what somebody else has is a model. He's a model of perfection. So that's the way a person works. So he sees a model of perfection, and if he's in the world of perfection, so that serves as something for him to gauge himself by and to recognize the reality of it, to appreciate it. Contrary, to study it, to appreciate it. And then he will desire it himself. He studies the other individual, and he sees how he has perfection, how it affects his life, and how good it really is for him. And that's something that he should have a desire to have also, if he's not in the world of fantasy and illusion. But that's a high level. That's a high level. That's a different kind of a thing, in other words. It's not the world of the instinctual being translated into fantasy. That's really the Isser of Kinah, you see. Now, what the Ibn Ezra is saying is like this. He's saying, the Ibn Ezra's kasha is, the world asks, what's the Ibn Ezra's problem now? Because now you go back to Ibn Ezra. His problem is like this, that you see that the Torah never really authored the fantasy per se. Okay? The Torah never offered the fantasy, per se. Because otherwise the Torah would have said, you shouldn't have any fantasies, you shouldn't have any illusions, you shouldn't have any desires. That, as we said before, the Torah obviously can't offer. It's a virtual impossibility. So the Ibn Ezra's kasha is, since that is a virtual impossibility, if it's a virtual... Anashim Rabin Yitnuhu Alzosa Mitzvah. Echia Odam Shelo Yachmo Dova Yofa Belibo. Koma Shun Nechmod Lamara Enos. You see? What he's asking is like this. You might as well say that a person shouldn't have any desires. And obviously, that's good for the Vulna Goyen, but for the average person, it's impossible. The Torah can't ask for such a thing. It's impossible to ask for such a thing. So what the Ibn Ezra says is, but the Isser of Kinah is really that lock, that last step. What is the last step? The last step is that the other guy has it. You see, that's really where the lock is. So what the Ibn Ezra says is, that last step that the other guy has it, that is the step that takes you into the world where the fantasy becomes really evil, because that creates a different kind of a relationship to the fantasy and the soul of the individual. He says, and that step is completely irrational. Do you follow? What?
The one you simply say that the reason why jealousy is prohibited is because at that point the fantasy is starting to interfere with the person's perception of the real world.
That's correct.
So why do you...
Let me put it this way. When the other individual has it and it bothers you, that creates a fixation to the fantasy that is... In the soul of the individual, and that is what is evil. In other words, it's a sheer. It's basically a sheer, a qualitative sheer, but it's a sheer in the taiva.
Is what fuels the fact that he now has the sensation, or is the evil in the fact involvement?
One second, hold on a second. Go ahead. I'm trying to hear it. The phone's a little bit. Go ahead.
Is the evil the fact that the person fixated, or is the evil in the fact that the person now has corrupted his view of reality?
Okay, so...
Could you elaborate a little more on what you mean when you say now he's...
So, what I'm saying is like this. What I'm saying is we have to, like I said before, I'm working it out. But what I'm saying is like this. That, let's look at it from one respect. From one respect, the evil of kinah, you see, is simply a sheer entitlement. Okay? It's a sheer infanticide. That really is what the evil is. Because the moment, the fact that you have a fantasy, that's only natural. But the thing is, that kind of a thing is really the Nisayon HaChayim. You have to grapple with that. Okay? You have to rechannel the energies. But that's not evil. But when you see that your fantasy has been attained, when you have the painful association that your fantasy has been attained by that guy and that bothers you, that creates a fixation to the fantasy, which prevents you from ever removing yourself from it, so to speak. You know, everybody can do tshuva, but I'm saying, assuming that he's going, without the guy doing tshuva, without the guy overhauling his personality, at that moment, in other words, he is an individual who is fixated to evil. Okay? Now, the only question the Ibn Ezra is asking is, how is it possible to avoid that, just like you can't avoid the taiva itself? And that's where he says that that second step, which is that the other guy has your fantasy, that it disturbs you, the disturbing aspect of that fact, which is kinah, is really irrational. That's what the Ibn Ezra is saying. Because that's a denial of God's mishpat. In other words, what the Ibn Ezra is saying is like this. It's not, when I first asked the question, so Bernie gave an answer. He said that the answer is because it's not, in other words, because I asked the question. I said that my question was that maybe I'm jealous of the fact that this guy is really, he's really a mover. Okay, he knows how to do things, and I don't, right? So he never called Drach of Moscow, right? So Bernie said that's not rational either, because either you do something about it or you don't, you see? But my point is, the Ibn Ezra doesn't really say that. He doesn't bring that in. In other words, why didn't the Ibn Ezra bring that in also? He should have said, yeah, it's irrational over there. But the Ibn Ezra just says one thing, that the irrationality is exclusively this one thing that God gave it to him, and you think that it's possible that you could have that? Yeah, you might as well think you could sprout wings. Okay, you see, why didn't the Ibn Ezra bring in the other thing? All right, so you could say he didn't mention it, but that's what he definitely, that's definitely a necessary thing. But if it's a necessary thing for the picture, why didn't he mention it? But what I want to say now is like this: that really, kinah, the imperfection in kinah is not simply because you're jealous of the other guy. It's because that second thought, that painful thought that the other guy has my fantasy, is really creates a lock on the fantasy. And what the Ibn Ezra is saying is that painful thought is irrational. That painful element, because what's the painful element? That he should have it. You see? That painful element is where the evil comes in. But that painful element is itself only one thing. It's a denial of God's mishpat, of the Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ibn Ezra is just addressing that one element. That's why he doesn't bring in the other things. On the contrary, the other things are good, because the other things are really, it's wonderful for a person. If a person is envious of another individual's ability to do something, that's a perfection. And that you have a right to be envious of. You should be, as a matter of fact. That's what I'm showing the Chazal from my cut really shows you, on the contrary, that you should. The other guy's an honor. If he has the ability to go over in his mind and realize that he really is off of Afer, that's a wonderful thing to be envious of. There's no Isser on that. On the contrary, that is rational, because he is a model of that perfection. You should study him, and you should desire to be like him. Okay? But that is a completely different experience, because that's not instinctual being translated into fantasy and being locked into fantasy. My point is that the whole Isser of kinah, the whole Isser of Lo Sachmo, the way the Ibn Ezra is learning it, is that it's a sheer, you see, the reason why the Torah answered it is because it is a shear in the soul's fixation to taiva, in the soul's fixation to fantasy, and the instinctual, which comes back when it's not gratified in the form of fantasy and desire. Do you understand what I'm saying? What? I can't hear it. You got to step up closer.
In the person's last step, to put the fixation on it, that the person has the ability to control?
That's what Ibn Ezra is saying. That last step, which locks in the taiva, is really a denial of God.
Rabbi, so if I have a fantasy...
You follow what I'm saying? So that's why the Ibn Ezra only addresses that. Because that's what it is. Because the guy knows he has fantasy, so what does he care if the other guy has it? Oh, so the answer is that bothers him that God gave it to the other guy. So that's evil. But the Ibn Ezra is only addressing that thing. But I'm saying you have to go further. You have to see the whole picture. He's just addressing one thing. He's saying, how is it possible? And I'm saying what his question is, if you can't say a person shouldn't have fantasies, that's impossible. So now the other guy has it, so he's jealous. Right? So the Ibn Ezra shows you that there's two components. There's fantasy, really, but then there's the other guy got it. The other guy got it, that is a denial of God. He says only a denial of reality, and only a fool experiences such a thing. That should bother him that the other guy has it. But what I'm saying, so that's how the Torah could really answer it. That's how the Torah could answer it. But I'm saying that insofar as being envious of the other guy being successful because he lives according to Chachman, because he exercises his judgment properly, that's not only mutter, that's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. That's just like the case of Rava. He was jealous of the other guy's wealth. Why? Because that's mutter, that's a mitzvah. That's a good jealousy. It's the same word, but it's a completely different phenomenon. You understand? That is not the instinctual being translated into fantasy. That is rational, that a person should desire perfection, and if he sees a model of perfection, he should study it. If that model is in another human being, and he should study the benefits, and he should naturally be drawn to have those, to have that. That's a desire for the good. Do you follow?
If a guy has a fantasy and a striving for something that no one else has in the world, his energy is locked in there?
What do you mean that no one else has in the world?
A guy has a fantasy for something that doesn't exist.
I'm not saying that any time a person doesn't have jealousy, his fantasies, his emotions aren't locked in. I didn't say that. I said if he has jealousy, his emotions locked in. But I didn't say that there is no other way of locking in your emotions.
In other words, a person could
strive. There are other ways. The Zola of a Sove, Ben Sarah Mori, the Zola of a Sove, it doesn't say he's Mekane. There are other methods also of doing that, but I'm just saying this is what Kino is. Kino is a very specific kind of a, has a very specific description. But the evil of Kino is not like people think that it's because the Torah doesn't want you to go against the other guy. It's because of it's a way that the individual's fantasy is locked in. That's what's wrong. That's what's evil about it. Because that's why it's 100% mutter to be envious of perfection, of another person's perfection. Mitzvah, it's a mitzvah, on the contrary. That kind of jealousy is good.
Yeah, I sense that once the guy's jealous, he views it as if it's like a preferential treatment.
That's correct.
That's why he can't get out of it, because now not only does he have a fantasy, but his own self-worth is measured by the fact that the other person has the thing and he doesn't.
That's correct.
And now he can't get out because...
That's correct. It's like multi-determined.
Okay.
That's good.
Okay.
That's very good. That's correct. But it explains the Ibn Ezra why he doesn't address the other issue. The answer is because there's no need to address the other issue. On the contrary, that's good. The only thing is the lock of the fact, the painful realization that the other guy has your fantasy. That painful realization is what locks in the kaifa into the form of, and fixates you to it, and that is what, without it, that is the evil that occurs to the soul when the soul is in that state. Okay?
In order for something to be effective.
All right, think it over. If you have any questions, you can ask me on Sunday morning.
Rabbi Kate.
Yes.
Now, I just wanted to say that a riot to that, I think, would be the fact that the Torah specifies the particulars. It always mentions the particulars. Why didn't it simply say it in general, because it backs up what you're saying, that you can't just ask the Losachma in general, because there are certain things like perfection where it would be okay. So it mentions the particulars over here.
That's correct.
I think one additional point, Quinn was saying also, it's the particulars, but in an instinctual framework.
Yeah, all the instinctual. Right.
That's correct.
Does this answer up the question of Cain and Hevel, why he was jealous over there? He wasn't jealous of any, you know, that was no fantasy that he was attached to, Cain and Hevel.
You mean to the fact that God accepted his,
It's carbon.
Yes, carbon, yeah.
So what does that have, I mean, how does that work here?
Yeah, that's correct. In other words, there you see, that Cain had a distorted idea of God. I mean, in other words, all these things are, you know what I mean? Like they're very tricky. You got to be very careful. Like you could say, I'm also jealous of the Vilnagain's perfection. But you have to be careful if the jealousy is related to his perfection, or the jealousy is related to the aura. Like the Chazal say, by Acher, that his father, may not be exactly accurate, but I think Chazal said that his father saw the Chacham, and he saw like an aura around them, you know, and it was a Tina Hoya Baliba, that there was, it wasn't the real Chachma that the father was attracted to, it was the cover that they had. You see, so you have to be careful. Like, for instance, the Rambam says that a person should be mispalo, or should desire to have a son. Shema godla dor yiyeh. Yeah. So, what kind of godless is that? I mean, of course, everybody wants to have a son as a godla dor. That's a natural thing. God would say to somebody, "Want to have a son as a godla dor?" Who's going to say no? So because they want a godla dor because of the fantasy and the covet of the godla dor. You see, but if a person knows what a godel hador really is in reality, it's a painful kind of a state that he has to be. It's like Moshe Rabbeinu, that he didn't want to do it. He had to do it because of justice, but he didn't want to do it because to him the covet was nothing, and it was a complete removal. He had to remove himself on the contrary from his chachma, and from his enjoyment of the metaphysical knowledge. So what the Rambam over there means is that a person should want to have a son that's a godel hador. It means stripped of the fantasy and the illusion. The same thing is true by Cain and Hevel. That Cain misconceived it. It wasn't simply that he wanted the perfection of Hevel so that God should truly recognize him. It was the recognition in terms of the instinctual element of recognition that bothered him. That was the chait. But like I said, it's a tricky thing. You know, I mean, things look the same, but everybody wants to be a gadol, but different motivations there. Looks like the same thing, but it's not really the same.
Have you?
Yeah.
We wanted to say also, we're thinking that the reason why you can't be jealous of perfection is because that's like part of a person. You can't take that away from a person. Whereas possessions, I mean, you could say that whatever that guy has really belongs to you. Whereas like any other, like a talent, you know, you're not really jealous of a talent that somebody else.
Oh, you can be jealous of a talent.
Yeah. You're jealous of a talent?
Talent? Sure. You can be jealous of a guy who's a good singer, a guy who's a good one.
You're not jealous of Michael Jordan that he's such a great basketball player. You reckon?
Why not? You could be jealous. I'm sure the guy that's under him is.
One guy left.
It's like the Ibn Ezra says, you know, the Ish Kfori is not jealous of royalty. But you can be sure that the prince is jealous of the king. That's a... I just... See, I don't agree with the approach. I don't think that it's a rational thing. I don't think you say there's a rational reason why. It definitely has to be explained in terms of the world of the instinctual, not the world of the rational. No rational reason why you're jealous, why you're not jealous. It's an instinctual thing. So you have to explain it in different lines. Psychology, everything is rational. And a person is, even a meshuggah is completely rational when you understand how he works. But it's a different kind of rational. It's irrational in terms of the instinctual. Everything that God created, it works with a plan. So even a meshuggah is a creation. He's a creation of God. And so far as that is true, there's a reason exactly. If you study him, you'll be able to explain everything he does. But that's a different kind of rational. That's the kind of rational you need to explain the kinna, not the rational, the other rational. Because I don't think a person says to himself, there's a reason why I want to be jealous of this guy. There's none of those reasons. It's purely instinctual response.
Rebbe, why
yeah.
should there be pain, though, if someone else has it? What's that emotion?
That's a separate question. That's a good question. That's the question I'm telling you now. That's an instinctual question. Where does that come from? But there definitely is such a thing. But that's a different kind of a thing. That goes back to early childhood. That could be traced to something to an instinctual source. But the important thing that you mentioned that is that Yahadus demands that we rise above those instinctual type of things. And that when we get older, we're able to revise them, not in the sense that they can't be events of that nature, but in the sense that they can't capture your mind. Okay? I'm not saying that the Torah would hold that if a guy experienced a pang of envy for a second. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, that's simply part of his makeup. You know, it's part of that's the question you're addressing. In other words, where does it come from? It's got to come from somewhere. So you can't obliterate that thing. But what Yahada says is, if the guy actually puts energy into that channel, then he's involved in evil. Because that Yahada demands that a person be able to have control over the energies that, even though their source is in the instinctual, but in a grown-up has to be able to revise his channels. If he just allows all the energy to flow naturally into wherever the channels are directing it, then he's not involved in Bechira. That's not Bechira. But that's a good question. In other words, that's a psychological question. What its source and origin is. But that's not what the Torah is addressing in terms of perfection. The Torah is addressing how you deal with it. Okay? Yeah.
Could you explain exactly how the energy gets locked in once you down and involved and all that?
You mean why that works that way?
Yeah, I mean, what's going on? You say when it's locked in that respect.
Well, I think Robert Fox was trying to explain that. I think he wanted to say because it becomes very determined by two... I think Robert Fox was talking about, am I right?
You mentioned that it goes back to the person's childhood
structure. Yeah.
The person senses that there's a preferential treatment.
Correct.
And so once they sense that there's some preferential treatment, that the other person got it and they didn't.
That's good.
Then their very self-worth becomes...
That's good.
He's on the line now.
That's good.
So the other person, that's why they can't get out of it anymore, because not only do they want the thing because of the fantasy, but they don't get it.
Right.
So then that means that they're not as good. They can't
that's correct.
Value themselves as highly as they previously did.
That's good. Then that's why they're really locked in that. That's good. Okay, Rabbi Zai.
Thank you very much.
Okay, have a good job.
Are you going to be coming in for Sunday, or you're...
No, Sunday? No, I'm
up
there.
Phone again, then.
Yep.
Over the phone. Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay.
10 o'clock?
Yep.
Okay, great.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Hey, good job.
Good job.